Right, making our way through the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon has brought his love and mercy and his joy and hope to us in the form of his laments and his, well, whining and his complaining, and it is pointing out everything that is wrong. Oh, meaningless, meaningless, it's all meaningless. And this morning we thank the rock group, the Birds, for all of us knowing this next passage of Scripture. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. A time to laugh and cry that is immortalized in a song that everyone knows or has heard at some point in time. That is where we're going to be this morning, but not first. We are going to start in Acts, Acts chapter 17. Yes, walking through Ecclesiastes, please turn to Acts chapter 17. For those non-Pentecostals out there, it is A-okay. But I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. I am. I'm going to teach you something, because as I went over these words this morning, they filled my cup. They really did. They filled my cup. I was like, that's a little yummy. That's my God they're talking about. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. In just a second, as you're listening to what I preach, I'm not going to ask you to do this or do this, no touchdown Jesus, you know, none of that, but I am going to ask you from your spirit, just to put one hand right here and give me a little, you know, as I'm reading. You don't have to make the noise if you don't want to. I want you to reach for him just a little, and I want you to get this, oh, that's good. You know, oh, I feel, you know, I just humor me as I read, and give me, even you, Jim, give me a little Baptocostal, a little, I don't want to, but I'm going to, all right? Pentecostal here, Baptist here, give me a little, all right? Give me a little, I think I know the answer, hand raise, all right? Because this is good stuff. We're going to talk about our God right here in Acts, and we need to look at the book. We need to look at what we're going to read today through the lens of this. I'm giving you the glasses that we're going to read through. I'm handing you your 3D goggles for the movie right now, all right, from Acts. So listen, Paul then stood up in the meeting, all right? Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are religious. Remember, I prayed against that. I don't want none of that religious stuff. Dogs are religious. They go pee-pee on the same tree, all right? That's religion. Everything over and over. We don't want none of that. We want relationship. We want, For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects, I even found an altar that said to an unknown God, now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. He says, you may not know what you're looking after, but I got a God I want to tell you about. This is one. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed a little something, something. He's not served by human hands, like he needed our help, is what Paul's saying. What kind of God do you worship that you think needs you, all right? Be weary of preachers who say God needs you. Can I get an amen? God don't need you. Let me tell you something, though. My Jesus wants you. Oh, he don't need you, but he wants you. And he wants you to be a part of all. From one man, he made every nation that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined, my God determined the times and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not that far from him, for in him we live and move and have our being. In the God of the universe that set time and space out, I can live in that. I can be a part of that. The God that said, no, there is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow. I'm already there. Joy to the world. Amen? All right, that God that is boundless and timeless and full of hope and full of joy, you got to look at what we're going to read through those lenses. I am a child. I am living in the world, set out and cast and spun and lit and darkened by that God. Okay? Let the Catholics feel comfortable too. Okay. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity. If you're taking notes, if you write in your Bibles, you want to circle two words. Word number one, Everything. Church, say everything. Everything. Say everything like we a black church. Everything. All right. Like we missed by a block, okay? Right down there. And a season. Say the word season. Come on. For everything, there is a season. Those are what you need to circle. Not seasoning now. Season. All right. A time, I'm going to get to the seasoning later this afternoon at my house, but this is just season, all right? A time to be born. I almost can't do this without singing. A time to die. A time to plant. Okay. A time to uproot. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to, it's a Baptist church. A time to fellowship of the feet. A time to scatter and a time to gather. And that's dance. Can I get a witness? Time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Let me tell you how we read it. Let me tell you how we read it, because we're human. We read it as if God said it and we believe it, but like it's the Golden Corral of the Scriptures. Let me explain. When you go to the Golden Corral, not that I recommend it, I'm just saying, when you go to the Golden Corral, you can choose the mashed potatoes or the carrots. And if you so choose, you can have some mashed potatoes and some carrots. If you would like the fried fish, you may have it. If you would like the pot roast, you may have it. If you would like the chicken nuggets or the not-so-Mexican Mexican, you may have it. If you want the shredded cheese or the runny cheese, you may have shredded and runny cheese, because you have chosen a buffet. And what we do is we look at this and we sing the song with our spiritual eyes on. There's a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. But when it comes to our lives, here's what we do. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Harvest is a lot of work, but that's where I get stuff. I'll take harvest. I'm going to have me some harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. Oh, good Lord, heaven, no, thou shalt not kill. I'm going to take heal. I'm going to take me some heal. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Oh, let's dance. No mourning. No. Wipe those tears. And we choose. But through the lens of a God that loves you, through the lens of a God that created you, you need to understand that this is not a buffet, but a 30-course meal. Set up to help you have, listen to me, more than you could ever fathom. More than you could ever imagine. Now, you all have experienced the yumminess of God working on His timing. I do not get into politics. I do not. I do not get into world issues. I am here to preach the word. But let me just say that for those of you who were here a week ago, do you remember that I had planned to do this, and then God spoke to me about the end of chapter 2, so I had to insert that here, and then that moved this passage to here, and what happened on Monday? Our country experienced a nightmare. Our country experienced a time to kill. That's hard for us, isn't it? Craig, how can you, I think I'm going to have to turn my nose up at you or wrinkle my nose at you a little bit for including that in the Scriptures. I didn't. The boundless and limitless God included it in the Scriptures before you knew it was coming and after He knew it was coming. Because there is a time and a season for everything. And it is because we have tasted sour that we understand sweet. It is because we've tasted pain that we understand freedom from it. It's because we have been bound that we understand running free. It is because we have been cold that we understand what it's like to be warm. It's because we've been lonely that we understand what it's like to be loved. There is a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. And here's what we do. We take a look at the loom. You know what a loom is? A loom is a weaving machine. And we lay down underneath the loom and we decide that we know and we can tell all of our friends what the picture is. You're not the loom weaver. You're not looking from the right side. And it's just now getting started. But in our arrogance, in our pride, we get a little bit and we go, I got this. I can teach it. I can live it. I can preach it. I can make it happen. I can share this news. When you don't know diddly. You don't know diddly. God says, in a way you cannot fathom, I see the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. I see the more than you could ever with your words ask for or imagine that I've written about. So the question is, do you trust me or not? Well, I need more. Let me tell you what more is. The enemy of faith. Let me tell you what faith is. The bridge to Christ. Matt Chandler says mystery is the prerequisite of faith. I had to think about that for a minute. Mystery is the prerequisite of faith. If you have all of the answers, then there is what? No faith required. Can't be faith. Here's what you want to sing. Lord, give me answers to trust what you say, that you're good as long as I know the way. Don't want to be broken inside. That season's gone by. Pretty good for a guy making stuff up as he goes, huh? But that's what you want, isn't it? Lord, give me a country's unity without the horror. Hey, I want it. But let me let you all in on a fantastic secret. You listening? Do you want to lean in close for this one? You ready? Everybody listening? I'm not God. Just want to throw that out there. That's my big secret. I'm not God. I know, Fishhook. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you and your family today as you deal with the news. I'm not God. And I'm clueless. But it just so happens that a God that loves me does a little bit more for me. He gives me a little bit more than clues. He says there's a way to get this. There's a way to understand. There's a way to enjoy this. Not a way you want to hear. When I started this whole thing, I did not think to myself, man, I hope everything that I do is the way they want to hear it. Do you think God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were up there before they flung the world into existence going, hey, what do you think? I think we should give them an opinion. What do you think? Do you think we should give them an opinion? Let's just give them an opinion. All in favor say aye. Me neither. You think that went on? It's the way you wanted it, though, isn't it? It's the way we all want it, isn't it? We want our vote. Even you guys who are so excited, and you are, that we're not voting anymore, that we're not having business anymore, you're all excited about that. You're all excited that we don't do any of that stuff. But deep down inside, there are a lot of you who still want to go, but don't you want to know what I want to hear? Don't you want to hear what I have to say? Doesn't my opinion count? You know who else you do that to? You do it to the Lord of the universe. You know what the Lord of the universe says? Before you were even a whisper, a thought, before you even made your appearance, I was knitting you. He wasn't molding you. I think he used the word knit for a reason. You know, when you knit, you got to take those threads and you got to hook them together, and then you can put this row in, and then if you want to change colors, you can change colors and put this row in, and then this row. If you're molding clay and stuff, it's just clay, you know, you're just giving it shape. Some of us wish he shaped us a little differently. Me too, hallelujah. He shaped me like a pencil. And then over the last couple years, it looked like that pencil swallowed a marble. Come on. Listen. God knitted you. And he didn't knit you so you'd figure something out. Let me explain it to you. He knitted you because he knew exactly what he needed you to be, where he needed you to be, how he needed you to be for a time such as he needed you to be in. For me, he just dropped me down in the late 70s, early 80s, and the 90s. Praise God, all right? Praise God. I'm a kid of the 80s, man. A child of the 90s. I like it like that, all right? I do. But what he knitted in me is for that. That's what he did. I would not work in the 2030s. You would not work in the 1920s. He made me for a time such as this, and he knitted me for what I was going to do. If he'd have made me an introvert and quiet, I could not have carried this out. At one point in time during his knitting, he's like, I'm going to give this one a little extra volume. Yes, add volume. Make mouth larger, all right? Drop in a little arrogance. And my family just raised their hand. My family just went Pentecostal on me. But do you see, do you understand that, that's what he did for me for now? And he did the same thing for you for now. The problem is not that God messed up. The problem is not, do you think that actually happened? I mean, hold up. Is God in the middle of knitting and he adds in, you know, the way your nose looks and he goes, ah! My bad. Good luck with middle school with that thing. Do you think that happened? One day God just said, he was doing the weight part of you, and he gets distracted. The Holy Spirit's like, look what I'm doing. And Jesus is just pumping it in. You know, oh, no. Listen to me. You've got to hear me. Do you believe that happened? Because some of you live like you do. You live like you believe that God made a mistake. You live like you believe that he was up there with, oops, it's like Independence Day. Let's try it again. Oops, yes, without the oops. Like you want a do-over. No, for now, for today, for this, for your family, for your friends, for your job. Well, Craig, I'm not doing it in my job. That's not God's fault. Maybe you're not where God planned for you to be. And I promise you, he is all in to get you where he wants you. I promise you. How do I know? What does the worker gain from his toil? You know what that means? Why am I not getting anywhere on this treadmill? Well, because it's a treadmill. If you get on the treadmill, it doesn't matter how much energy you expend, how many steps your Fitbit says you're taking, you have gone nowhere. Don't raise your hands, but anybody had a season like that? The treadmill season of my life? A lot of people in the room are like, yeah, I wish it would end. Somebody got to change the season. Maybe it's because you're at the buffet. Listen to this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. This baby. Will she cry if I? Come here. Come here. Hi. Hi. Look at this little thing. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? This was easy, wasn't it? Yeah, when's it get easy? That's exactly right. You see, this thing, and y'all don't get mad at me for what I'm about to say. It's true. If this wasn't their first time here, they'd probably just shout it out. Listen to me. When you make this thing, it's pleasure. Making this thing is pleasurish, all right? And then when you find out and you get to tell somebody, and that you remember when you found out and then you got to call the in-laws and you got to think of how to do, then it's like, yeah, it's the pleasure turns into joyful rejoicing. And then pleasure and joyful rejoicing turns into nausea. Can I get an amen? And nausea turns into cravings. Cravings turn into massive amounts of leaving the home when you don't want to leave the home for things you have no desire to buy or to have her eat, because they will turn into other things in the bathroom that do not smell like you want them to smell. Because this in here, and then you go from ah to ah. And then you go from to, and we're like, get it out. And you're like, I'm trying. And then you go to the hospital. And there's people there touching you and causing things to happen and poking you with things. Places, and then there's rippage. That's the best way to, yeah, every woman's like, oh. And sometimes if there's not rippage, there's cuttage. Thank you, Nicole. You don't get what's coming without going through what's happening. And I'll be darned if God didn't know, A, that part of the fall was the pleasure of childbirth, okay? And also that he had asked us to be fruitful and to multiply, and if we all had to go through that, there would be no multiplication. So did you know that as the woman creates the food for the child and distributes it to the child, there is a hormone in there that is specifically designed to ease those pains. Because he knew. And when you hold them and you get to share them and you get to see them and you hear the, and they smile at you for the first time, and they say, da-da for the first time, mama for the first time. When they walk, you just love them, and then they won't go to sleep. And in your mind, you say, to everything, turn, turn. And you remind yourself that in the beautiful design, God does everything for a reason. And through his lens, He is creating for you an indescribable, unimaginable joy. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. We've been talking about this, and Solomon repeats it. If you're sold out on now, you're missing the point. The things of this world pass away, but the things of God remain forever. We turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There's a reason for every season, and it is grasped when we look through the eyes of God, who allows us to stay in him, who we know knows the sparrow that falls to the ground, the hairs that are on our head, more than we can ever ask for or imagine, plans to prosper us, and we live in the same God who flung the universe into existence, and we set our minds on eternity because nobody can take that away from us in Christ. I know what God has done. I cannot fathom. That's what's next from beginning to end. When I don't understand, I will trust the one who's gone before. And then it goes from a season to every little thing gonna be all right. And it's amazing how the salt goes with the rosemary, goes with the... Anybody like cake? Can I get a witness? Anybody like cake? Good. Anybody ever take a spoonful of flour and just put it in their mouth on purpose? Spoonful of flour, anyone? Nastiness? Huh. That's about 4 cups of flour in your cake. Anybody know what fish oil is? How about fish sauce? We cook a lot of Asian food in our home. Fish sauce is in a large amount of Asian dishes. Cicely, does it smell good? Does it taste good by itself? No. It is. They take sardines and herring, and they squeeze them till the oil and the juice falls out. That's fish sauce. But man, it makes tom yum delicious. It makes what, num mak or whatever we made the other day, delicious. Listen to me. There are things that aren't yummy. That in the context of everything God is doing, David Crowder said, you make everything glorious. You make everything glorious. You make everything glorious, and I am yours. What does that make me? Glorious. My trials, my tribulations, my skinniness, my fatness, my death, my life, my hopelessness, and my hope. My hope is in you. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is the gift of God. How? By enjoying everything that he made you for, that he made you to, that he brings you to, everything. And knowing that this is for a time such as this, and in following him, the next thing will be glorious too. When your hope is in Christ and the end is not the end, then death has no, anybody know the word? Sting. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken front of it. You ready for this? Ready for this? Ready for this? Here's the last line. God does this so that men would revere him. so that we would find our eyes set upon the only thing worth setting our eyes upon. John Piper says, I am a Christian hedonist. He says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, and the chief end of God is to glorify Himself and enjoy Himself forever. It took me a year to grasp the depth of that statement. But here it is in a nutshell. The greatest thing would choose to worship the greatest thing. And the greatest thing would teach all of its creation to worship the greatest thing. So God revels in Himself, and He is without arrogance because He is right. And man revels in God because God is to be reveled in. Choose to revel in the one thing that remains. Let's pray.